I want to start off tonight by asking a question. And that question is, what is the purpose of preaching and teaching? You know, so often we come to church once, twice, three times a week. We go into service and we sing songs and it's great. And then we sit down and we hear the word, right? And so we do this over and over and over again. Well, what's the big deal? Why preaching and teaching? And I believe that if you understand the purpose of preaching and teaching, you'll place value on what you hear, okay? So there's two purposes of preaching and teaching. The first one is to form beliefs. And what do I mean by that? You know, Pastor Dan gets up here, Pastor Jessica gets up here, and they're preaching, and what are they doing? They're trying to get you to believe that if by some reason you should get sick, that by his stripes you are healed. You know, they're up here, Pastor Jim and Pastor Deborah, they're up preaching and they're trying to get you to believe that if you're faithful in your tithes and offerings, that God will rebuke the devourer for your sake, that God will open up the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing upon you so much that you can't contain that. Can I have any hands in here tonight who believe that? Amen. So, you know, a minister will get up and they'll be preaching, you know, to you married couples, trying to form a belief that love never fails, trying to form beliefs that God has plans for your life. They're thoughts of good and not of evil, plans to give you a future and plans to give you a hope. And so the first purpose of preaching and teaching is to form a belief in you. The other one is to strengthen the beliefs you already have. And so you say, you know what, Joey, I already know that by his stripes I'm healed. I believe in healing. I believe that love never fails. I believe these things. And so that's good. But when you come to service, sometimes, I already know that. I've already heard that. So, and you kind of walk away disappointed. But if you realize that, number one, the preacher, God, is trying to form beliefs in your heart, or number two, if you already have those beliefs, he's trying to strengthen them, you'll never walk away from a service disappointed. You'll understand and you'll realize what has taken place in your heart, what's going on. And so, again, when you understand the purposes of them, you'll place value on what you hear. Okay, which brings me to my next question. So the first question was, you know, what's the purpose of preaching and teaching? Now, you got to kind of follow me here. So it's beliefs, right? Forming these beliefs in our life. So if preaching and teaching is all about forming beliefs, what's the purpose of beliefs? Right? Again, if we're coming to church all the time and we're hearing somebody speak God's word, what's the purpose of beliefs? And I'll just tell you right off the bat, the purpose of beliefs being formed in our lives, those beliefs are to govern what we think, what we say, and what we do. That's why God forms faith in your heart, so that it will govern what you think, what you say, and what you do. You know, I've always been a sports guy. And since I was little, I've always, like, Michael Jordan's like my favorite basketball player. And, you know, I've always been a sports guy. And for me personally, soccer is my favorite sport. Do I have any people who like soccer? Do I have any people who like football? We'll give football a chance here. Yeah. All right, do I got any basketball people? All right. Is there anybody in the house tonight who feels bold enough to raise their hand and predict who they think is going to win the Super Bowl? Let me clarify, not who you want to win the Super Bowl, who you think is going to win the Super Bowl. Anybody? All right. The Vikings, the Minnesota Vikings. Can I get a hoorah for the Minnesota Vikings? Right on. Oh, Cowboys. So anyway, I've always been a sports person, right? So ever since I was little, you know, I'd be in my front lawn, 10 years old, playing soccer, playing football, doing basketball on the driveway. And sure enough, without a doubt, without fail, somebody goes and kicks the ball too hard. They throw it far. It bounces off a car, and it's headed. It's going across the street. And so here I go with all my might, running as fast as I can, 10 years old, that's about 7 miles an hour. That's like, you know, just sprinting towards the street, and all of a sudden I hear, Joseph Aaron Valcarzo, you stop right there! And I'm like, ugh! You know, like in front of all my friends, sure enough, there's my mom. Don't you run across the street without looking both ways. And so, I turn around, there she is in the window, you know, looking at me like this. And so what was my mom doing? She was forming a belief in me that running across the street after a ball without looking is dangerous. And what did she hope that belief would do? She hoped that belief would govern what I thought, what I said, and what I did, that I would all of a sudden stop and realize, hey, I got to look both ways before I just run out there. Otherwise, I can get in an accident, right? So the purpose of beliefs is to govern what you think, say, and do. And so real quick, we have a scripture. It's 2 Corinthians chapter 4. You don't have to turn there. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 13. Do we have it up on the overheads? I just want you to see what this from the Bible. It says, "And since we have the same spirit of faith, according to what is written," watch what it says, "I believed, and therefore I spoke." It says, "We also believe, and therefore speak." So do you see in this verse that the direct result of somebody's belief is your action, what you think, what you say, and what you do. And so tonight, I want to talk about being a doer. I want to talk about doing the word. We're on Faith Basics number 4. Faith Basics number 4, and the title of my message tonight is Just Do It. Look at your neighbor and say, just do it. Look at your other neighbor and say, just do the word. Just do the word. So things we need to know. Number one, and we're going really, really super, super deep tonight. Number one, don't forget to do it. Don't forget to do it. Turn your Bibles with me to James chapter 1. James chapter 1. Let's see what the Bible has to say about this. I believe, personally, that forgetfulness is one of the number one, one of the major reasons why we as Christians don't do the word. Now, I know you guys are familiar with the Bible. How many of you guys realize that the whole purpose of the rainbow in the sky is to cause us to not forget that God will never again flood the earth? Isn't that right? It's a thing that will help us eliminate forgetfulness. How many of you are familiar with communion? You know, Jesus said about communion, "Do this in remembrance of me." It's a eliminating forgetfulness thing. And then if you look in there's actually a verse in the Old Testament in Deuteronomy 6:10, and I won't read it, you don't have to turn there. But God's talking to the children of Israel and he says, you know, after you have houses that you didn't build, that I built for you, after they've been filled with good things that you didn't fill them with, after wells have been dug and you have wells that you did not dig, and after you've eaten and you're full, he says, beware lest you forget the Lord who brought you out of Egypt and delivered you from bondage. It was a thing that God was trying to rid his people of forgetfulness. And there's another scripture that comes to mind that would just help show us this, but Psalms chapter 103, and it says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all of his benefits." And so I see all throughout the Bible this issue and this thing of forgetfulness and how God is dealing with forgetfulness in our lives. So if you look, I had you turn there to James chapter 1. We're going to start reading in verse 22. And it says, "But be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. It says, 'For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man observing his natural face in a mirror. For he observes himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of man he was.'" Verse 25, "But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it and is not a forgetful hearer but a doer of the work, this one will be blessed in what he does." And so what I want to point out about the scripture, what you have to realize about the scripture, is that the Bible many times will take a spiritual truth, right? And it will liken it to something in the natural to help give us understanding about that spiritual truth. You know, Jesus used parables to describe what he's talking about, right? And so the Bible likens God's word unto a sword, one part of the Bible. The Bible likens God's word unto water. The Bible likens God's word unto a seed. Basically, what the Bible is trying to do, what God's trying to show you, is that there's characteristics and there's things about water or a sword or seed that you understand that can shine light about God's word to help you understand what God's word is all about. And so in this verse, the Bible likens God's word unto a mirror. Now let's just take a minute and talk about this mirror thing. All right. I want you to think back for a moment, and I want you to think of a time where you went on a date, or maybe you were with your friends, and you were going to go to dinner and a movie, okay? And so you go out, and you have this great meal, and it's just the bomb, and you're having all this fun, and you're laughing, and you go ahead and you go to the movie theater, and you get your ticket, and you're standing in line, right? And then all of a sudden you decide, you know what? I think I'm going to use the restroom before I get in the movie theater so I don't get interrupted. So you go to the restroom. Next thing you know, you're standing in front of the sink and you're washing your hands and you look up and you go, oh my gosh, my dinner is in my teeth and has been there since I left the restaurant, right? Or maybe you got this eyelash just poking straight out and you think, oh my goodness, how long has that been there, right? And so, or maybe, how many of you guys have a favorite candy that absolutely stains your mouth? Blue or red or something like that. I've eaten candy before, and the next thing I knew, I looked in the mirror, and I was like, oh my gosh, my whole mouth is blue, you know? But I want you to notice, it took the mirror to reveal to my life, to my face, what needed to change. Okay? It took the mirror. Well, in the same way, the Bible is saying that God's word is like a mirror, and it will reveal things about our life, things about our life that need to change. The areas in our life where we need to become doers of the work, okay? So let's take it a step further. And how many of you in the house can raise your hand and say, you know, I've done that, I walked in the mirror, and I'm like, oh my goodness, what is that? All right, let's take it a step further. How many of you have even walked in front of a mirror before you went to go do something, and somehow you got interrupted, and you didn't get a chance to fix what was wrong with your face, and you walked out and realized, you know, hours later that, oh my gosh, there's still something wrong. You know, for me, it'd be something like this. You know, I'll go use the restroom, and I'm standing there in front of the sink, washing my hands in front of the mirror, and all of a sudden I'll look up and I'll be like, oh my gosh, what is in my nose? What is in my nose? And I got my hands down here. I'm going like this. Right? I'm here at church. And all of a sudden, somebody will walk in the bathroom, and all of a sudden, I'll go. I don't want to see what's going on. So then I'll turn off the water, and I'll go, and I'll drop my hands, and I'll think, whew, I got away with that one. And next thing I know, I walk out the door, and never dealt with the mocos in my nose. So I'm walking down the courtyard here, or maybe at school or something, and I'm smiling at people, hey! And people are like, oh my gosh, somebody help that man! You know, so... In the same way, Pastor Dan, Pastor Jessica, Pastor Jim, or whoever it may be, will get up in the pulpit and they'll start talking to you about God's word. They'll start preaching God's word, and God's word will begin to form beliefs in your heart, begin to show you things in your life, and then Pastor Dan or whoever it is decides to dismiss the service, and all of a sudden we start thinking about, how am I going to get out of the parking lot before everybody else? What's going on after service? What are we going to go eat? What are the boys doing tonight? Or maybe it's, you know, I wonder where that good-looking guy or gal is, or where they're headed, you know, that I saw when I came in here. And so what happens is God or the Holy Spirit is revealing things to our heart, and then we get distracted, and we forget to change, or we forget to do what God is revealing to our heart. Now, how many of you guys can raise your hands tonight and say, you know, because you have a daytime planner? Or nobody. Okay, one person. Thank you. Calendar. Okay, sorry, calendar. How many guys have computers at work or at school or at home that they got all these pop-ups, you know, go to this meeting, go to this appointment, you know, whatever. How many guys put post-it notes on your mirrors or in your car? What are you doing? In the natural, you're doing things to remind yourself of doing the things that you need to do, okay? Now, let's look at verse 25 of James chapter 1. We just read it. It says, "But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it and is not a forgetful hearer but a doer of the work, this one will be blessed in what he does." I want you to notice the phrase, continues in it. Continues in it literally means to keep it next to you, to keep it close to you so that you can keep on looking at it, so that you can keep on allowing it to reminds you of things that we do. And so even in the natural, we have things like post-it notes, you know, that we're using to help remind us. So that means when it comes to God's word, you know, you may do it by taking notes. Taking notes is a good thing. I don't know about you, but sometimes, a lot of times, I take notes and I never look at them again. you know, which is not helping me remind me. So you and I have to figure out ways to do things to remind us of what God is telling us. You know, so I'm using Pastor Dan a lot tonight. Pastor Dan gets up and he's talking about walking in love toward others, right? He's talking about you got to walk in love toward your brother. You got to walk in love toward your fellow man. And all of a sudden, employee Jack is right there in your face. You're like, oh, employee Jack, I don't want to walk in love toward that guy, right? And so, you know, like we said, Pastor Dan dismisses service and we're worried about getting out of the parking lot. We're worried about these different things and we forget about walking in love toward employee Jack. And so what you got to do is you got to find a way to remind yourself about walking in love toward employee Jack. Now I was thinking about this. Next time you're at work, you can go up to employee Jack, grab him, push him up against the wall, take his picture, take the picture and put it on your refrigerator. And every time you pass the refrigerator, got to be reminding you, I got to walk in love toward that idiot, you know. I'm not really saying do that, but all I'm saying is find ways to remind yourself about doing God's word. And then one more thing. Okay, it says, continue in it. I find that as you study the Bible, the number one thing that will eliminate forgetfulness from our lives so that we can become doers of the word is meditating. What do I mean by that? The word meditating means to think on. It means to ponder. It means to roll it over in your heart and your mind. It even means to say it out of your mouth. And so as you study the Bible, you'll find that meditating is the number one way to eliminate forgetfulness from our lives. And so faith basics, number four, just do it. Things we need to know. Number two is that obedience or doing God's word releases his power. You know, we just read here in James chapter 1 that the person who's a doer of the word and not a hearer, they'll be blessed in their deeds. Does anybody remember reading that just a moment ago? Jesus says in Matthew chapter 7, if you're a doer of the word and not a hearer only, you'll withstand the storms of life. Okay? Now turn with me, if you will, to Joshua chapter 1. And let's see what God has to say about being a doer. So we got James saying, you'll be blessed in your deeds. We got Jesus saying, you'll withstand the storms of life. And now let's take a look at what God says. James chapter 1, verse 8. It says, this book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written. It says, for then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Now the word prosperous, I want to take a moment and talk to you about the word prosperous. The word prosperous is not talking about financial prosperity, sometimes contrary to popular belief. The word prosperous may include financial prosperity, but that's not what the Bible is saying right here. The word prosperous literally means to push forward and break out. How many of you maybe in here tonight, you know somebody who's sick in their body and they need to push forward and break out of their current physical condition? How many of you, maybe you've been in a situation with relationships where you needed to push forward and break out of strife? You needed to push forward and break out of offenses. Well, God says that if you're a doer of the word, that you will push forward and break out. You know, before we got saved, we were sinners until somebody brought us God's word and says, if you believe in your heart and you confess with your mouth, Lord Jesus, you shall be saved. And then by doing that, we push forward and we broke out of the kingdom of darkness and we were put into the kingdom of his dear son. Can I get an amen? We're put into the kingdom of the son of his love. And so doing God's word will cause you to push forward and break out. We have too many people in Christianity, too many people in God's house who they've lost their forward momentum. They're stuck. They're stuck in this issue. They're stuck in their depression. They're stuck in their problems. And absolutely, God loves you, but he wants you to push forward and break out. He doesn't want you to just stay there. So you get God's word on a matter and you put it to practice and you do it. Man, you're going to push forward and break out. And so, James says, you'll be blessed in your deeds. Jesus says, you'll withstand the storms of life. And then God says, you'll push forward and you'll break out. There's a scripture in Jeremiah, actually. And it says that God was talking to his people and saying, I gave you my word. I told you what to do. And it says, instead of doing what I told you to do, you walked in the counsel of your ungodly thoughts and your heart. And then God says, and you went backwards and not forward. So anytime we become hearers of the word only, or we just forget hearing all, or you know, forget doing altogether, we're going to find ourselves getting stuck. We're going to find ourselves moving back and not forward. If you'll turn in your Bibles with me to Matthew chapter 14. Matthew chapter 14 and verse 29. Let's start reading in verse 22. It says, immediately Jesus made his disciples get into the boat and go before him to the other side, while he sent the multitudes away. It says, and when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up on the mountain by himself to pray. Now when evening came, he was alone there. And he says, but the boat was now in the middle of the sea, tossed by the waves, for the wind was contrary. Now in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went to them walking on the sea. Verse 26, and when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, it is a ghost. And they cried out for fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, be of good cheer, it is I. Do not be afraid. Verse 28, and Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it's you, command me to come to you on the water. And then here's where I wanted to get, verse 29. So Jesus said, come. And when Peter had come down out of the boat, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. Now I want you to notice something about this story. What did Jesus say to Peter? Come on, a little bit louder. Do you realize that one word from God, just one simple little four-letter word, defied the laws of nature and caused the man to walk on the water? Okay, so that's how much power God's word has in it for your life and for your particular situation. And if you notice, what would happen if Peter didn't get out of the boat? Would the power have been released to walk on the water? No, he had to be a doer of the word. So anytime you and I do the word, you know, the Bible says, and I know many of you in here tonight believe that when you speak in other tongues, you'll edify yourself. You'll build yourself up on your most holy faith. If you go ahead and do that, man, that power is released into your life to build you up, to edify you. And just like we're talking about, you know, being faithful in your tithes and offerings, when the moment you every week you're putting in your 10%, you're putting in what you need to give to God, man, don't you know that God's power is released in your life to rebuke the devourer, to open up the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing for you? Anytime you and I have a promise from God, just do it, because God's word will be released in your life. Well, I know I went short tonight. I thought this was going to be a lot longer, but if God spoke to you today, give him a great big praise.